In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you today, again about Christian psychiatry. Now, yesterday I warned about the dangers of that which parades as Christian psychology. Today I want to give you an article about the faith of a Christian psychiatrist. His name is Dr. Basil Jackson, and this is what he says. One of the most common questions I am asked as I go around the country and around the world is, how is it that a psychiatrist, a scientist, talks about such things as faith and uses words like religion, salvation, or religious experience? Isn't religion foolishness? And can an intelligent person in these days claim to be a Christian? I often find myself in a paradoxical position. Being trained not only in psychiatry, but also in theology, I find that my evangelical fundamental friends say I'm a heretic. My psychiatric, particularly my psychoanalytic friends, say I'm a nut. I have an answer to the question. How can a psychiatrist be a Christian? In order to be what I call a 360-degree psychiatrist, it is necessary to be a Christian. In order to help the whole man and the whole woman, an individual must have a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, must understand the power and the presence and the magnitude of the Holy Spirit of God, and must realize the importance of the written Word of God in the world today. Only then are we in a position to help people in all of the dimensions of their lives. Psychiatrists spend 4 years in medical school. We hope to develop in those years some degree of expertise in the physical dimensions of men and women, in anatomy, physiology, and pathology. Next, we spend another 4 years in the Graduate School of Psychology and Psychiatry. Then, it is hoped, we will have developed some degree of expertise in the psychological and emotional dimension of our patients. No matter how you add that, no matter how you compute that, you still have only developed the expertise to deal with two-thirds of a person. There is an additional dimension. And that is the spiritual dimension. Would you be surprised to hear that the majority of people who come into my office come not because of physical problems, not because of emotional and psychiatric problems, but because they are hurting in the spiritual dimensions of their lives? If I do not know Jesus Christ, if I do not have my feet planted firmly on the authority of God's inherent and inspirited Word, and if I do not have the availability in my ministry of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, I can take them apart by psychoanalysis. I can separate them brick by brick, but I have nothing with which to put them together again unless I have the power of God and of Jesus Christ. As advanced as medical technology and psychological and psychiatric theory are today, we remain baffled by even the simplest question of a little child. I happen to be a pediatric psychiatrist, and children come to me and ask simple but profound questions. Who am I? Why am I? Where am I going? What is life all about? I can assure you that psychology and psychiatry cannot answer those simple questions. There are four basic questions in all of human existence. The first question is, where do I come from? That's my origin. Who am I? That's my identity. For what am I? That's my purpose. And where am I going? That's my destination, my goal, and my hope. Psychiatry and psychology without Jesus have an answer for those questions. To the question, where do I come from? They say the answer is evolution. To who am I? The answer is selfishness, narcissism, and being concerned with self. For the purpose of life, the answer is ramification of the self, doing your own thing and satisfying yourself. To where am I going, the only answer that secular psychiatry and psychology can give is the sad and tragic answer of annihilation, an answer without hope, without a goal, and without a purpose. When my patients come to me and ask, is there a purpose in living? Is there any sense of meaning in my life? Can I have any hope? Is there any answer to the chaos we see in the world today and the anguish that people are experiencing on every hand? My training in secular psychology and psychiatry has no answer. The reason there is no answer to be found therein is that these are not psychological questions. They are spiritual questions. They involve a spiritual dimension, and their answers depend not on human intellect, but on divine revelation. These four basic questions arise from the hearts of men and women. They arise from the disjointed human experience that in the language of Scripture is described as the fall of man, a disjointed experience that is characterized by a lack of homeostasis, a lack of a sense of things that are in place in one's life, a lack of meaning, a lack of hope, and a lack of futurity. The answer that comes to us in Scripture, and that I have proved in my own human experience, is that a change, a transformation, energized not by psychology and not by psychoanalysis or by psychiatry, but the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God, is necessary to place men and women in a meaningful harmony with the world. A world in which the whole cosmos is experienced in an integrated sense as part of total reality. You see, it is only in Christ that the world even begins to make any sense. I have another answer about why psychiatrists should speak about religion. The word religion comes from two words. It comes from the prefix re, which means again, and the Latin infinitive ligare, which is a medical term that is used in the word ligament. You know that one bone is joined to another by a series of ligaments. It is only when men and women are joined to God vertically that they will ever be able to reach out, manifesting horizontally the love of Jesus Christ. Psychiatry, when it is practiced in the knowledge of divine revelation of the Scriptures, seeks to deal with the disjointed experience of men and women by joining them not only internally, intraphysically within themselves, but ultimately to their Creator God through the great ligament, joiner, Jesus Christ. The message of sacred Scripture is this: where there is no rejoining to God in the person of Jesus Christ, then that disjointed state will continue to exist. What the philosophers call an existential vacuum, a big hole inside, exists in the human personality. That hole will be filled. The sad thing is that if it is not filled by the Holy Spirit, it will be filled by an unholy spirit. Today, we see people seeking to fill the vacuum of their lives with the unholy spirit of materialism, abusive drugs, involvement in cultism, and witchcraft. We see evidence of that hole in their personality, in the doubt, discouragement, and the depression for which they seek help. Other people will seek to fill it with the evil of secular humanism, or with what is even more vicious. Sometimes they will seek to fill it with what I call an atheological theology. In other words, a theology without Jesus Christ. My faith as a psychiatrist is that I have so much hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives me more than Carl Gustav Jung or Erich Fromm. Jesus gives me answers because these basic psychological needs can be filled and fulfilled only in Him. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament says, I am the way and the truth and the life. In spite of what modern psychology and psychiatry may say, the answer of the written Word of God is not self-assertion on the one hand or self-negation on the other hand, but it is self-realization leading to a self-fulfillment in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, our humanity is not destroyed. We are transformed and become new creatures. Our instincts are not destroyed when we become Christians. They are directed. Our passions are not polarized. They are cleansed. Our desires are not crushed. They are channeled. Our urges are not eliminated in Jesus. They are elevated. Our drives are not massacred. They are molded. into a life of fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that it is only in Jesus Christ that we can find the ultimate and the necessary sense of hope in our lives, which can produce a sense of peace in our daily existence. Such is my choice, and such is my faith. That's my kind of psychiatry. Again, this is an article called The Faith of a Psychiatrist by Dr. Basil Jackson. And I do want to say again that I am not against all counseling. I am not even against psychological or psychiatric counseling. But I do want to issue a stern warning. Make sure that that Christian who claims to be a Christian psychologist or a Christian psychiatrist is very solidly based in Scripture. And my advice always is go first to Jesus Christ, first to the cross. It may just be that the peace that the world can never give, the peace that even a Christian psychiatrist can never give, is the peace that you lack, the peace that only Jesus can give. He said that this was his last gift in the world. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.